Flashback, 1983. Hey, I'm not a professional writer. When I was a lad of about 14 years of age, I was stupid. No, I was actually one of the more advanced learners in class, but I was 14. Of course I was stupid. There was a school dance. I was a smart, short, geeky teenager who had been late to the puberty party. I wanted to go to the dance, but I thought I might do better if I were high. Now, I need you to realize I didn't take drugs. Didn't know anything about drugs. Other than I did much better on tests if I took a contact cold capsule that day. But I was also stupid. So I snagged one off my sister's wardrobe. She had them for cramps, I thought. It was called phenobarbital, and the label said it might make you drowsy. That sounded like just the thing. So I ended up taking it about 30 minutes before the dance. At the dance, I wasn't feeling so great. My stomach was cramping and I just hurt. I was not into it. I think I might have thrown up. I really don't remember. I was hurting a lot by the time the dance was over. Yeah, no cell phones, kids. You had to say, pick me up at X o'clock and hope that was when you really wanted to leave. Sometimes you got stuck at some event that sucked. Sometimes you wanted to stay later, but had to go because your mom was there to pick you up. And there was always the payphone. There might be a line, though, if it was working. So, of course, afterwards, we go straight to grandmother's house. I'm sick. Grandmother will fix it. Well, to make an already too long story, at least a little shorter, unless you count this stuff I throw in here to keep this from seeming like it was a story about a serious thing. Grandmother even tried Compazine, but when I woke up from the glorious Compazine nap, I was still refusing with gusto to allow anything to remain within any portion of my digestive tract. Not bad, huh? You're welcome. So, off to the ER at about 5 or 6 a.m., I don't know. I remember this much of the next hour. I heard them talking in the other room while I sat on the examining table. The door was cracked, and they said they needed a blood sample to confirm, but they were pretty sure I had appendicitis. Weird, huh? I mean, I was feeling great. I took a pill, then I had appendicitis. Just that fast. I'll elaborate on that a lot more later, but let's just make that connection now. Did you catch it? I didn't know when I went through it, not until I basically tried to OD on the Donatol to get some sleep and peace later. That bottle also said it might make you drowsy. Then, that time, the pain hit fast. I had gone from infrequent small doses with the Donatol and the combo drug to one big dose by taking several pills. Big apology here for what's next. Some stuff we document because it's important, even though you might think it's too much. I will try to say I had never realized in my life there was a way for something white to come out of the lower end of my digestive system. The abdominal pain was unbearable. That's when I realized the Donatol had phenobarbital in it and determined the appendix issue from earlier probably was related. Hell, I was putting this together and published a preview and somehow it slipped out. It's sneaky, huh? Meanwhile, in the flashback, I was already rolling up my sleeve before they came into the room. So I ended up in surgery an hour or two later. Grandmother's boss, a general thoracic surgeon that had started as a field surgeon in World War II, did the honors. We trusted him. Afterwards, he said my appendix was completely ulcerated. Weird. Most people get to go home the day after, or sometimes even the day of an appendectomy. Not me. I couldn't hold food down for days. They couldn't figure out what was going on. Pretty soon, I was on broad-spectrum antibiotics and a yellow bag of nutrients. The first meal they had brought me was zucchini and linguine. Neither of those ever hit the table at my house. It did not taste good, but I ate, because that's what you do. Then I redecorated everything within projectile distance. They decided clear broth was better after that. I remember the gas pains I would get. It would start innocuously, but I would quickly learn that was just the preamble. Then it would rumble through my system, cramping me up until finally it would silently let go in something so room-clearing any teenager would be proud. I remember watching V from the hospital bed. Loved that show. My best friend visited and didn't even comment on the bomb I launched. End flashback. At this point, my body couldn't get rid of fluids, and the only thing stopping the burning was fluids. The burning was the priority, except it had gone past that. Now I found that my mind couldn't think straight unless I drank a lot of water. Unknown to me, this was all causing hyponatremia. Hyponatremia is no joke. It kills people. When your electrolyte levels get diluted, your heart doesn't beat right. Guess what else impacts your heart? Licorice extract. I didn't know. But you know me, I can always go to another level of absurdity. Next, I decided taking one of grandmother's Lasix pills was a good idea. That's a diuretic. Sure seemed like what I needed, something to make you go. Why not throw another log on the fire? The vitamin A and D, licorice, water, and potassium pills, they sure weren't helping. So let's add Lasix. Yeah, I had created quite the cocktail. My heart was pounding. I was well into one of the worst days of my life by now and about to pour on more fuel. Anyway, I'm thinking, grandmother takes nitroglycerin when her heart hurts, and this pressure is beginning to feel like chest pain. So naturally, I decided to take one of her nitroglycerin tablets. That should help the heart pounding, right? At this point, I've taken basically every knob, dial, and slider in my system and moved it to some new level. Blood pressure is high, I'm diluted, but at the same time, unable to pee. There it is again. So not even waste products are being removed. This is not something that happens frequently. SIADH is dangerous, often resulting in electrolyte imbalances and even death if untreated. But I was, as usual, taking it to the next level with all my attempts at fixing things myself. I had given up on doctors. The event. I was stuck there at my grandmother's house, and by some stroke of luck, she had some decent medical books lying around, older and somewhat outdated, probably from the 70s, but better than nothing. I was flipping through one of them, trying not to panic, when I found a section on kidney stones. It talked about trying to bear down to help pass one, and I thought, well, obviously that's what I have, a kidney stone. I couldn't pee at all. It made perfect sense at the time. Occam's razor and all, right? So I took that advice and got to work. I sat down on the commode, more potty stuff here, sorry, and I bore down. At first, nothing happened, just pressure. I give you higher. Then the veins on the left side of my groin started bulging like cables. I felt this wave, sharp, focused, like getting kicked in the testicle on that side. And then a small jet of bloody urine, just one. I thought, that's it, I passed it. Kidney stone is out. And it stopped. Blessed silence in my body for the first time in hours. But we know that's too easy, right? I'm not exactly sure how much later, but it was measured in seconds, not minutes. And the other side of my body did the same thing. Same pressure, same swelling, same pain, another brief jet. I fell to the floor, sweating, and passed out. First, though, I remember thinking distinctly, maybe we should call 911. Should I wake up grandmother and grandfather, a grizzled World War II and Korean War veteran with another 20 years in civil service? That's when it went black. I woke up on the cold tile, confused, drenched in sweat, unsure how long I'd been out. I pulled up my shorts and tried to take stock. My heart was still pounding, but in a new way, a boom, boom, boom. I could feel it in my toes and fingers and hear it in my ears. On some level, I think I was shocked that I was alive. This sequence of events is etched in my mind like Egyptian hieroglyphics. I will never be able to leave that memory behind. I'm going to take a moment here and do my first aside and say that these words cannot convey the minutes that I sat in that bathroom and the events that occurred. They were life-changing. This was the beginning of everything else. And it's not something that you're going to find in any scientific book. I stumbled into my bedroom and managed to fall asleep. When I came to, I was confused, weak, and soaked in sweat. Wherever I sweated and my skin contacted the sheets, I had a strange red rash. I didn't know what was going on. To some degree, I do now. Pressures had changed in my body. My kidneys were reconfigured by a pressure change I induced while bearing down. Here I am going to reference the article. In it, we learn exactly what went on here, but we aren't there yet. I didn't know about the article at this point in the story, so all I knew was that something was still very wrong. The rash burned, my heart was pounding, but I felt different. It is hard to describe. I was more alert, more able to think, but still messed up. I remember eating some bacon. I pretty much did just nothing for a day or two. I don't know. The next couple of days are hazy. I remember moving between rooms in slow motion, like everything was underwater. My thinking was sharp, but everything was like a dreamscape, like I was an observer or detached. At first, I couldn't read or even focus on a television program. My system was adjusting. I didn't know it, but I did begin to feel a little better, and I could now pee. You'll get numb to it after a while. So that seemed like a good change. I must have gotten rid of that kidney stone I had wisely diagnosed, right? No, I was an idiot. Now, I'm going to comment on Occam's razor. Basically, bullshit. Do you know Occam's razor? It says that when you don't know the reason for something, the simplest explanation is usually the most likely. But if you're a math guy like me, you see the problem. Most likely is just another way of saying best guess. It doesn't rule anything out, it just ranks options. And if you treat simplicity as evidence of truth, you're in circular logic. Of course, simpler things tend to be more likely, that's statistics. But nature doesn't always pick the simple path. So Occam's razor is a helpful guide, but it's not proof. Simple things are common, complex things are less common. That's life, math, and nature. It's just how things work.